Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. Gonna have to bear with me for just a minute, please, because Blog Talk Radio is once again having technical difficulties. So I am going to be calling my guest, and hopefully we won't get disconnected this time. So hopefully, here we go. Gotta love Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Yes. Okay. I can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, well, because that original part got deleted already from Blog Talk Radio, we'll just start over from how you were talking about Mail Order Murder, the story of Wave Productions.
Yes, of course, and I'm not sure like how much anyone heard, but basically, Mail Order Murder is a documentary about the shot on video movies that I worked on with the owners of Wave, Gary Whitson, and at the time he also had a partner named Sal Longo, who's no longer with the company, but they started in the late 80s. I joined up with them in 1990, and we acquired a lot of other people along the way, and people that I know who have been on your show that you know very well, mm-hmm. such as Debbie D, Pamela Such, to name a few. And basically, Wave started out doing like their own shot-on-video movies, like feature-length movies, but then they somehow started acquiring customers who wanted them to make, you know, their movies as well. So people would write them sometimes just a little paragraph, or sometimes they'd give them a full script of what they wanted, and Wave would actually create their clients' movies for them. And a lot of times they were questionable fetish-type movies, and some quite bizarre, as you can imagine. But that's basically how they got started, and that's what this documentary is about. And it is the brainchild of Russ Snyder and Bill Hellfire, who have done a phenomenal job with it. And it was nominated for a Chainsaw Award by Fangoria Magazine just recently, so we're all very proud of that. And Ross and Bill have been instrumental in putting shot on video producers like myself back on the map recently. And as a result of that documentary and all this renewed interest in all these classic shot on video. So they're killing it with these shot on video classics that they're re-releasing on Blu-ray now. So it's quite exciting.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think so. Oh, and for anybody listening and whoever might be listening to the recorded version later, you can find this a trailer for it. All you have to do on YouTube is type in Mail Order Murder trailer, and you can see a trailer for it. And there's this particular mummy in there that you might not recognize. And who is that, Dave?
That is actually me. I am the mummy. It's one of the many movies that, you know, Wave produced back in the 90s, and I worked with them all through the 90s up until the early 2000s, so that was one of many, many titles, The Mummy's Dungeon. But yes, that was yours truly.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Okay, so did you want to say anything else about Wave Productions or the Mail Order Murder? Because I don't want to just, like, cut you off.
Oh, no, not at all. Just the only thing I would add is that anyone that hasn't seen it or that's interested in actually purchasing the Blu-ray of Mail Order Murder can go to Vinegar Syndrome. It is still available on that website. So if anyone's interested in picking it up, highly recommend it for our fans of shot on video.
Okay, and now I do mean to cut you off because I believe Bill is calling in.
Oh,
hello,
okay.
Bill?
Gotcha. Hello?
Are you there, Phil?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh,
hey,
good.
Phil.
I made it. We're having like a torrential downpour here. And I was like on the road. I was like, get out of my way. I got to come. Dave's waiting.
It must be pouring everywhere because it's pouring here. It's pouring where Mac is. And we're all getting it.
It's doom. Mm. So how's everybody?
Cool. Phil, oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, how are you?
I'm okay. It's Friday.
Yes. Happy Friday to all.
Yes. So bring me up to par what you guys are up to.
Well, we just got started. He was talking about Mail Ordered Murder, the story of Wave Productions. And since you're here, we might as well just start talking about the Blue Hole. And you guys can just, take off on that, tell people what it is and how it all got started and, all whatever you want to tell us about it.
Go ahead, Dave, and I'll chime in.
Okay, sure. Well, the Blue Hole, started out really as an anthology of three movies, two of which were done quite a few years ago. One back in the 90s was a short that Sharky Video produced called The Last Laugh, and then another one that I did with Laura Giglio called Spring Break at Zombie Lake. So I always wanted to do something with those two shorts, and we never really quite, had anything, that we could add them to. So I actually wrote a third one entitled The Blue Hole that was really supposed to be like a wraparound for each story, but that ended up expanding and it became the main story. So now basically I like to think of it as a feature now, and just the other two shorts are kind of like presented as flashbacks in the story, but they are truly linked together, and it's kind of unique. We never done anything like that before. So, and we got some great talent. We got Phil Herman, we got Joel and Kathy Weinkoop, and we got a bunch of talented young people working on this: Michelle Gibbs, Amanda Megan, Jacob Kane, and we also got Laura Giglio on board, and we got Debbie D from the first short. So we've got quite an array of talent, and I'm very proud of to have all of them, and it's been quite a ride so far. So, Phil, you can take it from here.
Well, I remember when you gave me a call, you said, would you be interested in the Blue Hole? And I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds cool, and you were telling me about it, and I thought it would be cool that I would, because over the years, I've been just directing and producing and starring in my own stuff. So when you told me that, pretty much I got a break, that I would only have to star in it, and I was kind of honored that you did that. And I got to co-star with Michelle Gibbs. That's her name?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. She was great. And we had such a great time. We just fed off each other because I don't know if you know from Dave's previous movies, but Dave likes to put a lot of tongue twisters in his lines. So we were going nuts on the lines, but we just – would work off each other. We got focused, and we just pulled it off, and it was great. And I don't know if you remember from any of the clips that I put, but we were filming in like 100-degree weather, and I think it was the middle of July, and we were getting eaten up by like 1-pound mosquitoes, and we were spraying each other with off, and it wasn't really working. But it was just an experience, and just seeing Dave for the first time. We've known each other for almost 30 years, and we've done like a half a dozen of movies, if not more, together, but we never really met. So just working with him and seeing him, he was just an amazing, amazing professional on the way he handled the situation. Because when you film outdoors, it's different than when you film in a studio or indoors. Mm-hmm. Outside in the elements is so different than anything you could experience, because you never really know. You never know if it's going to rain or be like 100 degrees, for instance. But it all worked out, and we pulled it off, and it came out even better than I thought it would be. And I hope Dave was happy with it.
I'm thrilled. I mean, the conditions were brutal, but I didn't mind it a bit because I got to work with you in person after all these years. So it was quite a treat for me. And
it was
watching
like
you and Michelle.
We were just having so much fun with each other. It was great.
We did. We had a blast, even though it was 90-some degrees and we were getting torn apart by mosquitoes. It was fun. Believe it or not, it was a blast.
So we're going to have to give them credits, I think, on some of them. Because you'll probably see them actually biting off our necks.
Yeah, and watching them perform these lines in those conditions and just watching Phil and Michelle was quite mesmerizing because, you know, on the inside, I'm sure they're dying because it's ungodly. It's like being in the desert, you know, basically, and you're getting bit by bugs and just,
it was a
testament to their talent.
Fun, comfortable and fun atmosphere. It was just like we were just joking around and we were having, and it was a serious movie. It wasn't like, you know, a comedy or a spoof or anything. It was serious happenings and serious scenario that we were describing, and we just, when you called cut, we were like joking and kidding around, like drinking water like there was no tomorrow. And then when it all came to an end, we were like, wow, we did it. We actually did it.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I have to say that, you know, for people who don't know what the Blue Hole is, it was like, I want to say 85% of the movie, maybe more than that, we shot on location outdoors. So we always had the elements to deal with. Some of the stuff we did in the water was freezing. So Michelle, Amanda, you know, were in a lot of that. So they definitely deserve a lot of credit for dealing with those
things. Anytime you
work
on an indie movie, you deserve a lot of credit because it's like
conditions. Yeah. Yeah, it was. But they're such amazing fresh talent too. I'm so happy I got Michelle, Amanda, and Jacob because it's just been such a joy. And we got Matt Wallner, who is now my editor, and he's been doing some of the directing for me as well. And he's a great young talent too. And he even told me he's never worked with such a great, talented and professional group of people. So we really struck gold with this cast. And like I said, we
That's
got Phil and Joel too. And Kathy.
Oh yeah.
Lauren this is like a dream team. We're just, you know, I'm very, very lucky that everybody agreed to do this and we're almost done. It's in post production now. So we just got like a few little things we need to shoot like for inserts and cutaways, but it's all the footage basically is in the hands of Matt Wallner, our editor in chief. So
now the question of the night: do you have a release date yet?
We don't have a release date yet, but we're shooting for the fall at this point.
Yes. Okay.
So we're hoping to have it completed in the fall, but not ready for an actual release date yet. But I should let people know what it's about, because do you want to tell them or should I? I never really explained
the thing.
Okay, gotcha. So I'll make it short. It's the Blue Hole was really about a group of tabloid newspaper workers that are sent into the Pinelands of New Jersey to investigate and do a story on some mysterious occurrences in this infamous body of water known as the Devil's Bath. So there's a lot of mythology involved, whereas the Jersey Devil legends, you know, come into play. But it's also based on a lot of fact because there is, you know, an actual Blue Hole there that has mythology attached to it, and there have been drownings and disappearances. So it explores that, but in a really fun way. So that's basically what the movie's about.
Perfect.
So what do you do in it, Phil?
I'm a cameraman, a wise-ass cameraman that's doing the documentary, basically, that they're covering. And I'm working with Michelle, who's pretty much the reporter, and I pretty much just feed off of her lines. She's the one that's telling about all the past incidences at the Blue Hole and such, and then I'm just there. You know, I'm her dedicated cameraman. Am I typecast or what?
Yeah, he's recording. Not at all. But yeah, he's kind of like the comic relief too. I like the sex. He's got a lot of funny lines and funny, you know, reactions.
Which is
a change that happen.
I'm usually playing yeah. Psychomaniacs.
Yeah, I like to think of it as the comic relief. Yeah, there's some pretty funny moments there. Once it's edited together, and sometimes it's hard to realize the humor when you're shooting it, especially in those harsh conditions. But I'm hoping once it's edited together, it'll come across as being humorous.
You because you took many different angles. You took many because, you know, working low budget, you don't have a multi-camera, you know, setup. So you're doing one camera, so you're doing multiple shoots of the same lines over and over with just one cameraman. And then you just mix it together, and it usually works because that's the way we
do
it. That's the way we know how.
Yeah, and what was interesting, too, is you had a camera, like really a prop camera that was a real working camera. And, of course, I was basically shooting Phil, shooting, you know, shooting like he's shooting me. It was a little surreal.
That's right.
Yeah. But very different,
but
very exciting.
But I have a good time towards the end of our shoot.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to say anything.
right, yeah. We're trying not to give anything away. But that's basically the story. And these other two shorts were basically incidents that happened, like, in the past. Joel Weinkoop plays the retired sheriff of this small, kind of, like, really backwoods community in the Pinelands. Mm. And he, you know, yeah, they're sent out there to interview him.
I saw clips of that.
Oh, God, yeah.
He nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you see Joe in this role. Yeah, this is such a – yeah, he's very, very convincing in this movie. And
he's
very
so versatile,
good.
Joel.
Awesome.
He does –
yeah.
You know, he could be the crazy space hero. He could be the crazy crypt keeper. He could be the sheriff. He could be the comedian, the killer, the nice guy, bad guy, you name it. If you got a part, give it to Joel.
Yeah, and I don't want
to say
Kathy's part is, because Kathy's got a part, too, not as big as Joel, but I feel like it would be a spoiler if I said about her part, so
yeah.
I won't. I'll keep that
don't
a secret for now.
But another class act right there. Kathy's, she's always, the stars always shine on her when she's in a role.
Yeah,
oh,
and she's a sweetheart.
May I give a little shout-out and a thank you real quick?
Absolutely. Do
if
whatever you want.
If it's fine with Dave, it's fine with me.
I want to say thank you to Mac for bringing us to the $500 mark on our Doomsday Stories Indigo. And as always, she's always very supportive and ever since the beginning. And she brought us to the $500 mark, and she got the big bonus, which she'll be getting in the mail in a few days.
Awesome.
Well,
way to go, Mac. I'd like to say thank you to Mac, too, in getting, you know, having this opportunity to, you know, go on the air
she's
and getting our,
the
you know,
she's
our work out there.
She's very good with the indies. She's always
that's all. It's awesome.
Getting us out there.
It's people like you and Ross and Bill of Saturn's Core and Richard Maugg, who, you know, is doing these fantastic books about shot on video, Analog Nightmares. Yeah, I mean, they are all doing us huge favors, and we're getting audiences for our movies. Yeah.
Ross Snyder just did that wonderful Vinegar Syndrome release, The Burglar from Hell, a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And it's doing, people are loving it. It's like, I've never seen such a, the version that's out now, I haven't seen since when it was shot back in 92.
Oh, wow.
It's so crisp and clear. And he was so – it was almost a year it took, and he did so many extras. He got involved interviews with a lot of the people that were in the original, Debbie D, Brian Soule, Barry Gaines, and myself, and we did all new interviews. And we told about, you know, little things that nobody knew, you know. So he's great. He's a really good guy, Ross Snyder, another asset to us.
He's awesome. Yeah, him and Bill both are just doing a phenomenal job, like I said.
They're keeping us alive.
Yeah, they put us back on the map. Like a few years ago, I had no idea that anybody even remembered my movies, and here we are.
I
you
always
know,
kept I, you with me, though. I always said, hey, Dave, what are you doing? You like, yeah, okay.
Right, right. So, yeah, I'm very, very grateful to everybody, you know, that does that, and you, Mac, you know, that are, you know, keeping these alive, you know. A whole new generation now is watching these movies, and it's because of people like you that, you know.
They keep us going.
To make that possible.
Yeah.
Well, I have gotten many a person to watch the shot on video films, because a lot of people, the way they are, just like what they are with old movies, like from the 40s and silent movies and stuff, they remind me of people that say they don't like broccoli when they've never even tried to eat broccoli.
Thank you.
They say they don't like these films, but yet they've never watched one, and so how would they know? So I let them watch one or two of these films. Like, I use Backwoods Marcy for one person, and we're going to be talking about that later. But, yeah, they watched that, and they were like, wow, that's not as bad as I thought it would be. And then they finished it with, well, actually, it was good. I shouldn't say it's not as bad as I thought it would be. I should say it's good.
These movies are addictions.
It was a good film. And this is going off of your, going away from your stuff, but I just wanted to, like, put something in there. There's an old silent film called Metropolis. Have you guys seen it?
Oh, yes.
I've seen
it.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Okay, good. So then you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Well, my daughter, who at the time was 13, and me and her father were trying to get her to watch this film with us. And she said, I don't want to watch that. That's a silent film. Because she's 13 years old, you know.
All right.
So we said, no, really, watch it. Because the great thing about it is, and it does make a big difference when you have good music in a film, because we watched the original with the original music, and it was like, I didn't like it. But the 80s version that has all that modern music and everything, that was the version we were watching.
Oh, so okay. Yeah, I had the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
well,
I remember TMC or TCM did a re-release on it, and they restored it. And it was a beautiful print, beautiful music. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that one from the 80s, after we got done watching it, she said, I thought that was supposed to be a silent film. And her dad and I were laughing because we said, it was. And she said, well, I didn't even notice it. And it's not like she was only listening to the music. She really was watching the story. She knew what was going on. The plight of the people and everything. She got everything that was going on. So she was watching the film, not just listening to the music. And she didn't even realize that it was a silent film.
Aww,
that's a very good analogy to shot on video. I think a lot of people are turned off by the sound shot on video, but some people actually, it grows on them. They start watching maybe one or two titles, and like Phil said, some of them end up getting addicted, and I think that's...
Yeah, they become addicted,
you know,
and they start searching, and they start...
Yeah.
They have to have them all. It's a certain
quality,
a certain feel, sound, look. And like you said, some people, they look down at it. They go, that's not real film. That's not a real movie. They don't follow the rules. Too bad. It's our rules.
And am I wrong for saying this, but that robot, I always thought that robot was the feminine version of C-3PO in Star Wars.
There you go.
Oh, well, that's
probably
where he got the idea for it.
That's what I was thinking, because it looks a lot like C-3PO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
You nailed it on that.
Yeah.
I never thought of that before.
Yeah, I always thought that because I didn't really learn about Metropolis until after I saw Star Wars as a kid. And then I started, the first thing I thought of when I saw this robot, I was, oh my God, it looks just like C-3PO, but it's a woman robot.
Yeah. Exactly. I remember I joined that film school for the first time. And we learned a lot. That and Citizen Kane, you learn a lot.
Yeah.
But then it's all thrown away when we start making our movies.
Well, no, because what I've told people when they start seeing stuff about shot on video or even just independent, low budget or no budget independent films, well, they can be crappy. And here's what I always say: so can the big money movies can be crappy.
Yeah, we always say if we would have like 1% of their budget, we could do better than them.
Right.
I've seen a lot of big-budget movies that I thought were, I mean, I hate to say a movie's crap, but they're not all that they're cracked up to be, and they've got this giant budget, and
right.
I
but
can
no
watch
originality.
A shot on video.
It's no
right.
originality. They just keep copying. If one person does, they just repeat the same idea. They got the same color-by-numbers plots that you could almost, you know, you can write out what the end is going to be before even seeing it. And it's frustrating because they got all this money and that's what they put out.
Right. Well, they're more interested in the stars than they are about the tale.
That's right.
And that's part
exactly.
of the problem. And because some of them, they have the originality. It just, like, there was this one movie I was watching. I don't even know what the name of it was because sometimes when I'm watching stuff and switching the channels, I don't know if you guys do the same thing, and I just come upon a movie that looks interesting, I'll start watching it. And if I
right.
don't see the name of it, like if I catch it when it's, you know, past the credits, then I don't know what the name of it is. But it was a really interesting movie. I mean, it started out with these people. They're walking down the street, and they just fall over dead. And then they show other people just falling over dead. And then they had, in one part, they had people that were, like, floating out into, not into space, but off of the planet, because in certain parts of the Earth, the gravity was missing. And
sounds
so they have a whole bunch of interesting. Yeah, it sounds, and I'm making it sound better than it was.
Oh.
Because they had all these interesting ideas, and then it went absolutely nowhere.
See that? That's what
I was
mean.
Like, what?
And it's usually over 2 hours to get to the point.
Wow.
Well, the thing is this thing never got to the point. Because when I got to the end, I was like, and it was a little over 2 hours long. I was like,
yeah,
I watched this for 2 hours.
And you scratch your head and you go,
budget.
Why? But you always think it's going to get better.
Well, kudos
well,
to you for hanging in there through the whole thing.
Well,
see, our movies, we give what our audiences want. We always give what our audiences want. When they watch our movies, they go, yes, it's exactly what we expected. We don't experiment.
Yeah, I mean, and even if you do want to experiment a little bit, you don't snub your nose at the people that you know are going to be watching it.
Right, exactly.
Which is,
well, see, in our little circle,
big budgets do.
We all help each other. We all look out for each other. So it's different than Hollywood. Hollywood, they just want to kill each other, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's their movie or no movie. They don't want any competition or help. You know, it's their little group and that's it. See, us, if some other filmmaker calls me, I'll always help them. Oh, could you do a part? Yeah, sure. Could you write something? Yeah, sure. Can you do it? Yeah, sure. You know, that's the way we are, though. We always help each other.
It's a different world.
Yeah, there is more of that, Yeah, there's some of that in Hollywood, because I do have family in the business, and some of my family has been living in Hollywood their entire lives. But, yeah, there's a little bit of that helping each other, but there's more of being like sharks with each other.
Yeah, that's it.
But in a way, you can understand it.
Sure, because you know, you want to be the top. You know, if you're too, when you're at that level, you can't be soft, because if you're soft, then that's it. The people will step on you, because it's not like us. I mean, we have nothing to lose to help each other and this and that. You know, mm-hmm. hey, we help each other. So what? You know, it's okay. But it's cost millions when they help people, I think. So, you know, they don't want to help other people. They want to get, you know, the gold, the pot of gold, if that makes sense.
And unfortunately, what happens sometimes, and it happened to a family member of mine, but they were okay with it. It just was like, man, you can't win for losing, because what he did was he was trying to be helpful. So he had this friend, and so he took him to his producer and said, "Well, hey, you know, this is my friend, and do you think you can put him in the movie with me?" And how it ended up was his friend got the bigger part, and then he was put into a smaller part, and he was the one that So, but he was okay with it, because he said, "Well, you know what? It's not like that happens every single time, and I'd rather help somebody out than not help somebody out. So at least I can speak for my family that they're more like you guys. They want to help people out."
Right.
So, I'm sorry, were you going to say something else?
Nope. I'm waiting for Dave.
Okay.
I don't want to steal his show
like
here.
He was getting ready to talk. Because I wanted to ask. I'm sorry, go ahead, because sometimes there's a layover here.
No, I'm just listening. Okay. I'm just listening. It gave me a chance to listening to you two gave me a chance to eat my dinner.
Oh, you're lucky. I didn't get mine yet. I just walked in.
Yeah, because I'm actually working. I'm on my dinner break. That's why I was glad that I had a chance to get something to eat.
Oh, okay.
Aw. Well, what I wanted to start asking about, if it's okay with Phil, if he's going to stay on, because he can chime in, was I did want to start talking about that Blu-ray release of the double feature of Backwoods Marcy and an ex-hooker's Christmas Carol. So tell us all about that, how that came about, and how that's been going, because I know that it's already released.
Yeah, very exciting. Sharky's first Blu-ray ever, and just like Phil was talking about Burglar from Hell, Backwoods Marcy and ex-hooker's Christmas Carol was released as a double feature through re-release through Saturn's Core and their partners OCN Distribution at Vinegar Syndrome. So so that's been out for a couple months now, and it's doing great. And the quality of both movies on this Blu-ray is by far the best I've ever seen over the years. So, you know, I'm just elated over the whole thing. And anyone that's ever seen either movie, Backwoods Marcy or an ex-hooker's Christmas Carol, that sees this Blu-ray is going to see. Yeah, that's right. Phil's seen. I think you did too, didn't you, Mac? You saw both movies. You two still with me?
I am.
Okay. Oh, I want to make sure I didn't. Mac, are you there?
Oh, God.
I think we lost her. I think we are actually still in the air now, though, because I don't see that we got disconnected, but maybe she got disconnected.
Maybe. This is what happened.
Well, you know what? I think just got a message from her. She said to stay on the air, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay on the air. That's what the message she sent me. So she must have got kicked off.
Oh, okay.
Are you still with me, Phil?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. Because, yeah, she got hung up on. She just sent me a message. But yeah, I mean, I'll finish talking about the Blu-ray.
Sure.
Of course, that was, you know, Ross and Bill, you know, they're the ones that got this deal set up to release the Saturn's Core movies through Vinegar Syndrome. And make these wonderful Blu-rays, and both movies have
okay,
all these special features. Oh, good, you're
I
back.
I don't mean to interrupt you guys, but can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Thanks.
Yeah.
I was
we
hoping that was good. Yeah, we were worried, but we did. I got your message, and I said, okay, we're going to stay on the air this time, and, you know, I was hoping that you would be back.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio hung up on me again.
We got you back this time.
Okay, so go ahead with what you were saying.
Yeah, so I was just basically telling the listeners that for both movies, the versions on this Blu-ray are the remastered versions, but both movies come with a host of extras that some of which have never been seen before. They just went all out, just like Phil's Burglar from Hell. We got interviews from various cast members. The movies both have audio commentary moderated by Ross Snyder of me as a director on or producer, and that was Marcy's case. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. It sounded like my phone is like, I'm getting paranoid because my phone's making a noise. I thought I lost somebody or maybe that I got kicked off this time. Anyway, the extra features on the Blu-ray, they're all phenomenal. And the commentaries, that was a lot of fun. I won't say a lot about Nick Hooker's Christmas Carol because we did that whole show, you know, a while back, Mac, on that. But,
But
it's just anybody that, you know, hasn't seen the movies or even has seen the movies, you're going to see, you know, a lot of extras that weren't there the first time around.
And we look forward to it. The Blu-rays that Ross puts out are great. Vinegar Syndrome is like our savior. So, you know, there's nothing more we could say.
Yeah, and hopefully there'll be more in the future.
Because we would want to see more.
Well, I can't talk. I can't say anything. But they're gonna.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say.
We get taken.
They're working on some for a lot of different, you know, shot on video artists, and they're, you know, they really are working hard and getting these put out there. But yeah, we're not really like allowed to say what's coming.
Amazing what they do.
It is.
And at first you're like, oh God, this is a lot of work. This is what I'm doing here. But then in the end, oh. It's so worth it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've watched my own movie numerous times since I've got it, the Blu-ray of Burglar from Hell. I'm like, oh, wow, this is so cool. And I
hardly
ever watch my
own
movie.
It's exciting. Same here, and it's exciting to me. It's like experiencing them for the first time. Like when I don't know about you, Phil, but when I was doing the commentary, it brought back so many memories watching it with someone and having someone ask me questions as we're watching it. It was like seeing the movie in a whole new light, and I think that was the most fun for me.
I did the interview separate, and then I did the commentary by myself. And I just put the movie on, and he says, just go with it. And I was like, I don't know. How am I going to talk 90 minutes about this movie? I don't even remember. It's 30 years ago. And then once it started, it just like I became possessed. I just started – things were coming out of my mouth that I don't even remember. Like when I was watching it over, I was like, wow, that's right. That did happen. And I'm like, I can't believe this. And it was like 90 – whatever how long the movie was, 90 minutes of just – very informative details of it that never before told. Because, you know me, I don't like doing interviews. I don't do talk shows. I don't do Q&As, really. But I did this because you're on it. And then with the Burglar from Hell, when Ross told me, Ross did so much for me. I said, I can't say no. I said, you know, so, okay. I said, I'll try it. And it was so funny. It was one take. And the first time I did it, it was perfect. And I was like, this is magical.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of fun. I wish that Dawn, you know, had taken part in some of the special features for Back with Marcy. I do have to say, because a lot of people mistakenly think that I directed and produced Back with Marcy. I just produced and I helped Dawn with the writing, But she directed it, conceived the story. She did the makeup. She did the music. I mean, she was the brainchild behind Backwoods Marcy. And, you know, it was such fun working with her on that movie. And I just thought she did a phenomenal job. She was even nominated for a B-Movie Award for Best Actress back when they were doing the B-Movie Theater Awards. Yeah, when it was released back in the 90s.
Knows.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's something that a lot of people probably don't know, but that's, it's such a unique, I guess, movie. We didn't realize back then we were making it, but now it's unique because of the fact that she was a woman director in the 90s of shot on video, which was rare in itself, but she was directing a movie where a man was getting tortured for a change and getting victimized, and that was like a role reversal, and I think that's what so special about the movie, and that's why I think it's getting so much attention now, because back then that was unheard of, you know?
It was like a male I spit on your grave, sort of.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So it's just like the tables are turned and you have this female as the antagonist. And even though I really like to think as Marcy as the, you know, as the hero, because my character is an asshole, and I feel like my character is more of an antagonist, you know, and I think in the end people are going to root for Marcy anyway in that movie, but she really is like the Freddy Krueger of the, you know, the villain of the movie, and that's just I'm real excited more people are seeing it now, and I think it's doing very well, and I'm excited to. I get excited, reading the reviews and things like that about it.
People like nostalgia. They like going back.
Yeah,
especially
with
the events we're dealing with and the world we're living in, they want to go back to a more comfortable time where it's due to simplicity.
Yeah, I think that's what's so special about these 90s era shot on videos, because they were simpler times, and the internet really had not taken off yet when we were making these movies. So like I was saying earlier,
we used to advertise in magazines. That's unheard of.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. We did this through mail order. Like, we didn't know anything about the internet, that was going to be a thing. And whoever thought cell phones would be a thing. Like, we didn't have any of that back then when we were making these movies. So, it's quite mind-boggling.
Who would have thought back then we would be talking about these movies 30 years later? And we wouldn't
forgotten about. Yeah, and I went, like, I think, like, 12 years, was it? Mac, you even asked me, I think, the first time I was ever on your show, like, why we had such a big gap. It's like, I honestly had left the business not thinking, or thinking that no one even remembered these movies or even cared. So I had no idea that there was actually a fan base out there, and now I'm just, you know,
it's endless.
Amazement. Yeah.
Every time you think it's going to slow down, it gets bigger.
No matter what kind of films you make, there's always a fan base. Always. Even if it's just small, you always have a fan base. That's one nice thing about indie.
Yeah, I just never imagined, you know.
And it just gets bigger and bigger now because you get more and more people, you know, that because it's so vast now. Like, you post your movie and then all of a sudden, like, thousands of people see it, like, in a day, and you're like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, with all this technology, it's so accessible. There's so many different ways you can get a hold of these movies now, so I think that's a big part of it, too. And that's just, I never thought, you know, back then, never even imagined there being so many routes of...
Well, right, because back in the day, if you wanted to see a movie and you didn't get to see it, you were pretty much screwed. Except for the 80s, it got to where, okay, you could get them on video.
But after
a
year, it came out, it'd be like a year before it came onto video.
Well, actually, that was later. Because the first one that came out, it was not the first one that came out, but the first movie that was 5 years, and that was like the least amount of time, because it would take like 10 years for it to come out in the repeat theaters and stuff.
Right.
E.T. was the first one that came out after only 5 years.
Right.
Only.
Well, that's when movies used to play for a year in the theater, and then there would still be lines. Now it's like 30 days, and it's a miracle if it's still in the theater.
Well, Star Wars, I went to see that in the theater. No, I was just a teenager, but I went to see it when it first came out, the original Star Wars.
Yes.
And it was so popular. And, of course, it became popular after people saw it and started talking. But the funny thing about the 70s, well, and the 80s, too, but when people saw Star Wars, it was a thing that you had to try to be the one that saw it the most time.
Yeah.
Because there was no other way to see it except for in the theater.
That's right.
So we'd be going to school. How many times have you seen Star Wars? Oh, I've seen it 35 times.
Yeah.
Oh, I've only seen it 20 times.
But also in the days, you could stay in the theater all day, and they wouldn't like that. And it was only like $1.50 or whatever. It was very cheap in those days.
Yeah.
Now it's a small fortune.
Yeah, that was the first movie
I remember seeing multiple times. It was like Star Wars started that whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I remember
and
I saw
people would be lined up.
Times.
They'd be lined up all down the street waiting for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I first saw it
at a drive-in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's where
I saw it multiple
Jurassic
times.
Park.
I never saw it in a drive-in. That's funny. But I've seen it everywhere else. I've seen it in all different theaters, in the city, in little towns, because, like I said, it was playing over a year. So, I mean, there wasn't that much, many other movies playing, you know, with such appeal as Star Wars.
Well, here in Ohio, there was a friend of mine that he owned, this was back when it, you know, first started, he owned a one screen theater, and he was the my friend was going to school with me, and it was his father that owned
right.
the theater.
Cool.
But he played it for, and he was one of the ones that had it for the longest, because that was another thing too, to hold the movies as long as you could.
Yeah.
And so now you may only see it, well, they only have it for 4 weeks or 5 weeks.
Right.
And back then it was like, yeah, you want to have it for a really long time. So he was one of the few that was able to hold on to it for over 26 weeks, which for the people that don't know math, that's over 6 months.
Yeah.
And that was, since it was one screen, that was the only movie he was showing. And he made so much money from that movie, just that one movie, Star Wars, in 1977. That
I can
he
imagine.
Expanded that, yeah, he expanded the theater, and he ended up with 12 screens from one movie's profit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't the only one. There's so many people made money off that movie.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that used to happen. And now with, I mean, I love the technology. And I love being able to see stuff online, but it also takes something away from it.
Yeah, it's not the same anymore.
It's not the same as going to the movies, the old school movies. I totally agree. It's not the same.
But also going to the movies is no longer the way it used to be. There's a lot of interference with modern technology in the theater with people with their phones. And I don't understand. They pay all that money and they can't enjoy the show.
I sat through a half hour of commercials at the movies last week when I went, and I couldn't believe it. It's the first time I had gone like in a couple of years. It just, I said, "Are you kidding me?" It just was so annoying. I wanted to walk out.
No, I know, because by the time the movie's
wait,
done,
instead
you're like,
of
oh, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, before the coming attractions, even they had like a half hour of commercials that you would see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so annoying.
Well, guys, I got to go because I got another call.
Okay, all right, Phil.
Being with you guys.
This was a blast, man. I know. Thanks so much for calling in, buddy.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
Talk to you soon, man.
Have a good night, Bill.
You too. I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
All right, Bill.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was fun.
That was fun, yes. It is like talking to family. He's awesome. And I can't tell you what a treat it was finally getting to meet with him and work with him after 30 years of having this relationship and friendship, either online or over the phone, and never actually seeing each other. It just was amazing to do that and watch him work in person and perform. And, yeah, what a talent. Guys, he's amazing.
And a nice guy too.
He is. He really is. Sweetheart of a guy.
Let's see. We've got about 9 minutes left. Isn't that amazing how fast the time goes?
I actually thought we had less time left.
I did want you to talk a little bit about Sharky Video and, like, if people can go to a website or something and buy your stuff. So give them a short little thing about Sharky Video.
Oh, okay. Well, right now, and I am glad you mentioned that, right now we actually don't have, like, a stock of movies, and that's mainly because of the distribution deals that are pending with our titles. Mm-hmm. So I am getting that question a lot online, and unfortunately it's the same answer right now. We don't have them in stock, but the one movie, of course, that is accessible that we've been talking about, or the two movies, would be Backwoods Marcy and An Ex-Hooker's Christmas Carol, because they are available on this fantastic Blu-ray, and that's what I would refer people to who are interested in Sharky Video. But The Blue Hole is coming out hopefully in the fall, definitely by the end of the year. It is in post-production, so that would be the next one available. As far as distribution goes, I don't know yet, because we actually don't have a distributor for the movie yet. But I think you're going to see some of our other classic titles will be getting distribution in the near future, too. I just can't say a lot about it, but all I can say is the fans of Sharky is to hang in there, and, once they're released, they're going to be great, and they're going to, see some things that they probably haven't seen before.
Wow, cool. So what all have you got left for The Blue Hole? I mean, without giving away any spoilers, but I know that it's in post-production. What all have you got left to do? Just curious.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't mind you asking at all. And we just basically the main job, Matt Wallner, our editor, he's got the biggest job, of course, is editing it all together. He's got all the footage, like all the raw footage that we shot last year and the stuff over the summer we shot that Phil was talking about. So he has all that now. That's all in his hands, and he's got, state-of-the-art equipment, so he's well-equipped to do the job, and he's a great talent as well, like I said. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes up with, because sometimes, what we write on script isn't always what we get to shoot, and it certainly isn't always what the finished product comes out to be. And this is the first time that I've actually had someone edit a feature that I produced, instead of myself doing the editing. Usually anything I directed or produced in the past, I also edited it myself. So mm-hmm. It's a big change and very exciting for me, because I get to see, like, what kind of spin that Matt might put on it, that maybe things that I didn't think about when I was writing it. And we've already been bouncing ideas off of each other about it. So that's pretty much the phase that we're in now. As far as shooting goes, we just have like a few little things, like we have to go back and shoot on location at the Blue Hole in South Jersey, where we had, where we shot a lot of the footage. There's just like a few little like insert shots, things like that, mm-hmm. That we're going to be doing. But for the most part, he's got like the bulk of the movie, saved on a hard drive. And, cool. He's – so it's also, I should also say it's going to be our first high definition production, even though it's not fully, wasn't fully shot in HD. Like the other two shorts, you know, were shot back, you know, quite a few years ago. One was actually on shot on high eight, which is the same format Marcy was shot in. That was high eight. And mm-hmm. the other one was shot on the mini DV format, but it was digital, but it was digital tape. So these are all technologies that have, you know, no one really is using anymore. But so Matt's job is to, you know, basically convert them and have one flawless format. Like it's going to be, you know, for HD, it's a little bit tricky when you have multiple formats like that. So I don't know how he's going to do it, but that's his job, and that's why I have him, because he's, you know, better with working with multiple formats than I am. So mm-hmm. so it's definitely Sharky's first, I want to call it hybrid HD production, because it is kind of my first attempt in HD production. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm pretty excited with what I've seen so far. And hopefully the fans and the shot on video enthusiasts will like it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a blast. Are there any trailers that people can watch?
You know, I had one on YouTube and I pulled it off. I took it off because it was very early with the footage that I had shot last summer. And once I didn't have Matt on board when I was doing a lot of this principal shooting. I didn't find him till later down the line. So I decided to take that one off and, you know, he's going to be working on the trailer as well, which will probably come out over the summer, I'm thinking, just to, you know, wet some whistles, so to speak, with the trailer. But yeah, as soon as he has it done, I'll put it up on the Sharky YouTube channel for people to see, and I'm sure I'll put a link on our Facebook page to that as well. So it's coming soon.
Very, very cool. Okay, we're getting down to the last, like, a little over 2 minutes. So this is usually where I say you have about 2 minutes. So if you've got something you want to say or tell people about, now's the time to do it.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll start by thanking you once again and Phil for making this a great show, another fun time on a Friday night. And Ross and Bill, of course, of Saturn's Core, Richard Maugg, the Canadian author and good friend who wrote Analog Nightmares and Gift Wrapped and Gutted. And I have to thank my talented cast of The Blue Hole once again, Michelle Gibbs, Joe and Kathy Weinkoop, Amanda Megan, Jacob Kane, Phil Herman, of course, Laura Giglio, Debbie D, and there are quite a few other supporting roles, and I can't name everybody because some of the people in the shorts that we worked on, well, the one short, I honestly have to look at their names to make sure I'm pronouncing them correctly. but and there's people that we've lost touch with. But they're the main cast is what I named, and that's, you know, who I worked with this past year, who have all been a part of this most recent endeavor in bringing these shorts to life and tying them into this Blue Hole story. So the only other thing I can mention quickly is that Sharky Video is going to be putting out three classic anthologies, or the three movies, an anthology, three classic shorts, that's what I meant to say, on VHS for like a nostalgic VHS release, and that will be coming out in the near future as well.
Oh, cool. Oh, very cool. Okay, so we're down to like 30 seconds. So, and since Blog Talk Radio likes to cut people off in the middle of a sentence, I want to say thank you for being on the show once again, Dave, and it was a blast having you.